Coming up on this episode of Bro, Do You Even Talk Pinball? Kevin and I have our hot take slash impression, emphasis on impression, of Stern's new pinball, Rush, all that and more, coming right up.
Double Super Jackpot!
Hello. Hello. Hey, there we are. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Bro, Do You Even Talk Pinball for January 2022. I'm Kevin Manny. That's Nick Lane. What's going on?
What is going on, man? We're remote.
Yeah.
Things are a little hectic right now. But we got a new pinball machine to talk about. That's cool. I don't know if we were going to necessarily podcast this week, but we were kind of talking about, well, we'll see if they reveal Rush, which it sounds like they were going to do that last week. So here we are. That's the focus of this podcast. Maybe we've got some housekeeping to tidy up first, such as partner things. Let's go to that.
Do I know how to do that still? Let's see. Yeah, there we are. Let's start by thanking our premier sponsor, Pin Stadium, pinstadium.com. to get your awesome lighting kits for your pinball machine, like the concert editions that I have on my Guns N' Roses from Jersey Jack Pinball. Use coupon code Buffalo to save 10% at Penn Stadium. Thank you to Penn Stadium for their sponsorship. Comet Pinball, cometpinball.com. They make amazing lighting for your pinball machine. So you can light up your inserts, your GI, make it look great. They do awesome kits too. I like their kits a lot. I have one of each in my Doctor Who and my Addams Family. Big fan of those. Titan Pinball, throw out your crappy old rubber rings and replace them with Titan Competition rings, silicone rings for your pinball machine. They clean up great. They hold up great. They bounce and play like original rubber. So that's why we love them. Use coupon code Buffalo to save 10% at Titan Pinball. Pinside, our exclusive podcast partner, pinside.com, for all the discussion you could possibly want about pinball machines. Tons of cool resources too. You get the Pinside Top 100, which is objective fact about the best pinball machines of all time. We'll talk about that later about when it comes to Heist. Pinside, check them out. You can look up background information, all sorts of historical archival information about pinball machines. Pinball Raffle, if you want to check out pinballraffle.org. Go to for Pinball EDU. I'm not selling this one very well right now. It's a monthly pinball raffle for a pinball machine to benefit Pinball EDU and Spinners Pinball Arcade, their inclusive arcade in Frederick, Maryland. Visit pinballraffle.org to get in on that. You can win one or two like our friend Small Town Pinball has. And last but not least, Jersey Jack Pinball, makers of the finest pinball machines on the market. Good friends of the channel. We're big fans of what they do over at Jersey Jack.
Small town pinball is just a case of the rich getting richer, winning that competition twice, getting two free pinball machines. Well, not free.
Oh man, I know. Wow. He's waiting for Godzilla Premium now, so yeah. He'd be waiting a while.
Here's the math behind that. People are pretty happy when you win the first time, not the second time. No one's happy for you. If you can find the one true friend who's just excited for you when you win it the second time, there you go. Hold on to that person.
That's right. All right. So I guess we should talk about Rush, right? There's a new pinball machine in town. So let's go over here. I don't want to show that one yet. I don't want to show this one.
I heard it's just like Iron Maiden, though. I heard it's just a reskin. Just like,
yeah. Have you visited Pinball Enthusiasts on Facebook?
Oh God, that pinball enthusiast is, I think, in the nice way, it shows how many new people are in the hobby, right? Like,
it's true, yeah.
I think we can be the cranky old guys at this point, right? Like, maybe I've always been a little cranky and maybe a cranky young guy, but now it's just like, you know, it's Groundhog Day. It's watching the same thing over and over again, and then these two comments that I love is when somebody's like, "This game looks like you know, and insert whatever other game you want. And we'll talk about it. I mean, there's always some truth to that, right? Like, how many pinball machines are there? It's also a John Borg game, and Borg has basically, like, Kevin, I knew this game was going to look like X-Men before it came out. Like, before it was released, I was like, it's going to look like X-Men. Because I was just thinking, like, what is Borg up to, like, on his kind of cycle? What he's not touched for a while, and it's that. Which, anyways, we'll get out to all that. So that's, there's always that, and then people, like, lose their shit when they try to compare it to another game. And depending on my mood, that's either amusing or annoying, right? Like, am I jumping those threads and just look? And we've been saying that. You've had a joke on that in the show for years. Because, right, somebody was comparing Pirates to Black Rose.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, and they, what they say, somebody in chat just like, just put it in CAD.
Yeah. Just so whip open your CAD.
Joke. Yeah, that's an inside there, joke for Buffalo Pinball. If you ever see me or Kevin or anybody else in Buffalo Pinball, just say, like, just put in CAD, exclamation mark. We're making fun of that concept.
That's right. Because obviously, they're, you know, my favorite part of Black Rose is the moving ship that fires across the playfield and sinks another ship. I love that part. It's like
I'm waiting for the day that a pinball machine is designed doesn't have a similar shot to any other game. That game's going to be terrible. I don't know.
There's a reason why certain shots are in certain places, you know, because they work.
And all right, we can probably get into that a little bit more. And then the other favorite thing on Pinball Enthusiasts is when like a theme like Rush is announced and people are like, oh, you know, dad rock. First of all, dumb. Listen, this is fucking grandfather rock. I hate to break it to you, but like Kevin and I are in our 40s and Kevin's a dad. I'm not. Kevin, that was like Kevin's dad, like, or our dads would listen to Rush. So like what, like dad rock today would be, what would be like a dad rock? It'd be like a 90s like band.
Nirvana or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Nirvana is dad rock. I hate to, or even like you can even go up to like the early 2000s. Maybe somebody likes Fall Out Boy or something. Like Fall Out Boy is dad rock. Yep. Like, let's just update what year it is. It's 2022. Happy fucking new year. All right. So at least update your terms. It's not dad rock. The better term is classic rock.
Yes.
That's what it's categorized as. And why Stern is picking those themes is because, first of all, Rush has sold, as they, in their promo, 40 million albums or whatever. They've been around for decades of producing music. And people today who are younger than Kevin and I are still listening to Rush and will continue to listen to Rush. So, listen, the economics make sense. And as somebody astutely pointed out, I think it's somebody I respect in my friends list or in pinball community, was like, dude, Stern has been pumping out like fucking comic book hero games. All right. Those are like for teenage boys. I mean, mm-hmm. it runs the gamut, right? But literally, comic book heroes, come on.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're all over the board. Stop whining. And then we always get the third option, the original theme cry.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. So there needs to be an onboarding process for new people in pinball before they're allowed to post. Like, listen, you can post what you want, like per the community standards, but you know, just before you say an original theme, understand why, what people are going to say back to you and why that there's less and less of those, even though they're working these days because there's an ungodly amount of money going around in the economy and people are just buying pinball machines like crazy. But yeah, okay, so that's what you're gonna get. Like we'll see if we can get some Buffalo Pinball bingo cards. Maybe somebody in Discord will Kevin and I, you can consult with Kevin and I. And we'll make bingo cards for the next time a fucking new release comes out, and we'll see who wins.
Yep. Dad rock original themes.
Dad rock.
Theme. Pinball pricing is the other
price,
one.
Price, of course. Right. Yeah. I mean, everyone's price is like the free space.
Yeah, just goes right in the middle.
Oh God! All right.
All right. Should we look at some pictures here?
Yeah, let's get to some pictures.
All right, over here. All right, so Rush. This comes to us from Pinball News. Sorry about that. It says this game is designed by John Borg with programming by Tim Sexton. He was the lead. It includes 16 of the band's tracks as well as custom callouts recorded by the band members Alex Lifeson and Geddy Lee. Additional callouts come from Bare Naked Ladies frontman and fellow Canadian and friend of Buffalo Pinball, Ed Robertson, making a total of 600 individual voice callouts. 16 tracks in the game. So if you're playing along at home, here's the Rush songs you get. 2112, Bastille Day, Big Money, Cygnus X1, Far Cry, Fly By Night, Free Will, Headlong Flight, La Via Strangolato, I nailed that one, Fly By Night, One Little Victory, Red Barchetta, Subdivisions and Working Man. So
if you can't tell, Kevin's a huge Rush fan.
Huge. We're both big Rush fans. I know Rush from like classic rock radio. So I know Fly By Night. I know Working Man, Subdivisions. What's the other one? Tom Sawyer. Why isn't Tom Sawyer on this list?
I thought there were 17 songs in it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I think they missed Tom Sawyer on here, and that would make 17.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. What site are you reading from?
This is Pinball News.
Pinball News, come on.
You're fired.
Oh, my God. How dare you provide free content and get something wrong?
I know. Come on. Game uses concert footage to supplement music along with multiple custom animations from the graphics team at Stern. It comes with three models. Imagine that. A Pro. There's the Pro. Okay. I kind of like the art on the Pro. It's a new artist. Let me run through the rest of the design team here. So Michael Bernard is the artist on these. That's his first entry into pinball.
The art looks good from like kind of just a stepping back from a perspective, right? Like,
yeah.
You know what, before you get into like the detail and stuff, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's nice. It's custom designed for the pinball machine versus something like Led Zeppelin where they took existing art and applied it to the machine. This is all original art for the pin, which is cool. Raymond Davidson was also on software. Sound was by Bob Baffy. I'm not familiar with his work. I don't know if he's new or if he's more of a like behind the scenes kind of guy. Pricing. Can we talk about pricing, please?
Well, let's do that. If we don't, I mean, you got to talk about pricing, right?
Yeah. Like, so the Pro is $6,900. I'm going to throw the extra dollar on this just to make it because it's $6,899, but $6,900, $9,000 for a premium, and $11,100 for the LE. So I was like, that seems like a lot. So let's take a look back at 1 year ago with Led Zeppelin, which launched at the same time last year. That was $6,200, $7,800, and $9,200 respectively.
Yeah. Led Zeppelin seems like a pretty good deal right now.
Well, you get the QR code scanner now, so that's obvious. Oh. All the extra money.
Oh, well, Kevin, you didn't say that. Come on.
You get achievements. It goes ding now.
It's fun for like 2 days until you like max out the achievements.
Right. Okay, cool.
Which, no, that's, you know, I'm not bragging on achievements. But as a home collector, that's not the Stern Connected is not that great.
Yeah, I do
for me.
Yeah, it's fine. I feel like everybody was excited about the connectivity stuff for like a month, and everybody's kind of over it already. Maybe that's just me.
Well, I mean, it's not going to move the needle that much. Like, it's great to have. Like, it should be a standard thing in pinball now, right? Like, it's just one of those things that should be in there.
Right.
It's in gaming. I mean, that's achievements and stuff. That's gaming.
So let's jump back over to the
I'm fixated on the pricing. So I mean, the premium went up $1,200. Jesus. And then the Pro went up. The pro increase is not as much. Pro increase seven. Well, dude, wasn't Led Zeppelin when it came out like 51, like a little less than that? I don't know.
I pulled that from the launch announcement. So
perfect. Then there you go. You got it.
So these are MSRP. So your street price is probably a little less.
Right. And then
here it is right here.
God, dude. Oh my God. Are you ever going to buy a new pinball machine again? Maybe one there in 5 years.
It's crazy. Like, it's hard to like wrap my mind around trying to pay these prices for a new pinball machine.
Is that why you're looking for a new job or position?
You got to get a second job, buy a pinball.
Jesus, like, you know, like you can never get ahead. You're just on this treadmill, and the treadmill starts going faster and faster, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the good part is that I've already got money invested in pinball that I can cash out and sell a machine to get something new, because the old machines are going up in price too. So
yeah, well, there you go. You're following that guy's who calls a skinny guy and bald guy. You're following his investment strategy then.
Was that it? I forgot.
Well, he calls pinball investments. I know you. You're not saying that. I'm just. It's just a jab at him because he's. Yeah. You know what he's talking about.
I mean, I buy pinball machines I like because I want to play them. Right. The side benefit is that they're not worth more than they were when I bought them. So they're just keeping pace with the price of everything else going up, thankfully. So.
Yeah, I saw, like, I messaged you the other day because flipping out, Has like a bunch of pinballs, and like it was kind of cool that he posted all the pricing that he has, and I'm sure he'll sell all these, but like there's I think a used Iron Maiden Pro for like $8,000, and I've not looked on Pinside for like what Iron Maiden Pros are going, but I'm sure, you know, it's always gonna be a little bit more probably from a distributor dealer, but I'm sure he'll sell it.
Like, yeah,
the idea of like an Iron Maiden Pro being $8,000 is just God, you know prices are going to go up, but even knowing that, I have trouble wrapping my head around it still. Like, it's just like you blink and you even get used to what prices were 6 months or a year ago, and then they go up again. You're like, I can't do this. Can't figure it out.
Honestly, it's really got me like hyped for the next P3 release. I can get a brand new game for a couple $1,000. I was like, that's a freaking steal now. their pricing model, if they can start cranking out releases, you know, their model is gonna, I think with all this inflation, it's gonna it's looking more and more attractive over time.
I don't know. I mean Kyle, I try to look at the chat once in a while. So Kyle Bassa, longtime viewer and contributor, can we all agree that their cost of manufacture didn't actually go up more than $200, but they figured they'd make an extra $1,000? I don't know. Like, I mean, There's so much money flying around in the economy, and CERN be stupid not, when they're looking at the pricing, not to increase more than the cost of manufacturing. But I'm sure cost of manufacturing has also become extremely difficult in this environment with like supply shortages. I mean, what is like the hardest thing to make like in this environment? It's got like a pinball machine's got to be incredibly hard with sourcing all the parts and trying to get the parts. You could just be missing a few parts and like your thing's going to be held up. Let alone also trying to attract workers in this environment. You got the workers getting sick. You've got workers getting basically paid to stay home. It's just not a high wage job to be on the assembly line of a pinball machine. So there's just, it's like everything. It's just like not like one thing. It's just everything is going on right now. And I don't think we're going to be settled on this. I'm sure, Kev, a year from now, we're going to have this discussion again and the prices are going to be higher. I'd put money on that.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, not to mention like, there's just so many opportunities for jobs right now. So like if the people working the assembly line, that's, it's part of the great resignation where people are just like up and leaving and going to whatever job they want because there's so much availability of jobs. So if there's something that's a little bit better that's nearby, they can go and make more money, you know, working at McDonald's or whatever, you know, because those line worker jobs are not super high paying, I'm sure. So there's just more options for the workers. So labor costs go up and that slows down production, which increases their overall costs. So there's so many layers of things right now.
So what's this toe says based on the ads he sees living in Chicago, Stern has increased their base pay. So
it has not so increased
has
their
not,
base
he
pay.
Said. Yeah, yeah. For the jobs. So who knows?
So,
all right.
There you go. All right, back to the game. So that's the Pro looking good. So the back glass has the owl on there. I don't know the significance of all the symbolism from the band, but that was on one of their album covers that got shared in the Buffalo Discord. On the side is a kind of a cartoon rendition of the band with Neil Peart's ridiculous drum set there, looking good.
Can I just say before I forget one more thing about pricing? And this is a PSA from our unofficial sponsor Arby's. I saw at the rest stop. This week on the three-way that they're offering $17 an hour.
Isn't that insane?
Like, that's all you need to know.
Yeah. I'm so old that, like, I don't know what minimum wage was when you first started, but for me it was $4.25 an hour.
Oh, shit. I started in 96, so whatever it was then. But yeah.
You were probably like $5 or something.
Yeah, Arby's, $17 an hour. Boom.
Go do it, kids. You know? Get that money.
Get that beef.
Exactly. Michael Bernard of Sunbird Designs did the artwork. So this is the premium. It's got the Rush logo. It's looking very spacey and wintry on the sides. Pretty cool. Pretty cool, like purplish theme to this one. And then the LE has kind of, I would call it a steampunk vibe to it. Lots of gears. The side armor is like a cutout of a guitar with gear edges to it. The back glass has more gears and you know, random Rush stuff on it. So there you go. Those are your three models. It's got the expression lighting only in the LE. That's the other thing that makes that $9,000 premium harder to swallow, because on Zeppelin, if you bought the premium, you got the expression lighting, right?
Yeah, that was a really bizarre choice. It was that's really weird to me, because I don't know, man. Like, for that huge increase in the premium, and you're going to take the expression lighting out, and it doesn't seem like the features from the Pro to the Premium are that significant, right, for the price increase. Like, it's like pushing people to the Pro. So yeah, that's like what squarely pushed me to the Pro. Easy.
Yeah,
because you could buy the expression lighting, just get that, put that on the Pro, and there you go. What is the compelling reason to get a premium from the Pro?
So here's what's different on the LE. So the LE has the expression lighting system, the side armor, the mirrored back glass, foil cabinet decals, upgraded audio system, shaker motor, non-glare playfield glass, certificate of authenticity by Gary Stern, designer autograph on the bottom of the apron, and sequentially numbered. So those are all the things that it has over the premium. The main playfield differences are, here's a look at the playfield. There's a ramp in front of the time machine that goes up and down.
So there normally the ramp would just be always up?
It's always up on the Pro. Yeah. Okay.
Who gives a shit if it's down? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, God, Kevin, we didn't even preface this again. Hot take. Hot take impression, not a review. Somebody's already written a YouTube comment. Yeah, it's too late. Even though I said in the intro, we can't win because we're going to clip this.
Yep.
All right. Well, yep. There we go.
Well, you got it mid impressions this time. Yeah. So what's weird about that is, if you think about Mando on the Premium LE, there's like that scoop ramp that moves up and down. And when it's up, it gives you a different shot. But when it's down, you get a little like turnaround shot to the ramp.
Yeah, this, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. So you get two different shots, which is cool. On this, when the ramp goes down, there's nothing there. It's just a dead end, like you clunk into whatever metal is at the bottom of that.
And then it comes right back at you.
Right.
It's like, you know, like so a lot of John Borg has like the straight up the middle shot, you know, Metallica, Walking Dead. So it'd be like hitting Sparky without the magnet and just clunking back at you.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, really? That seems kind of. Are you sure? I'm not missing something, because that doesn't seem like a feature.
Let me see if there's a. Actually, I got the Stern picks over here. Let's see if there's a.
Well, Neil played the premium. Neil McCrae played the premium last night, so maybe Neil can let us know in chat if I'm off base here. Obviously, the impression.
All these picks are with the ramp up.
It's like a nice looking game. I mean,
yeah, it is
for sure.
Yeah. They're not showing it down.
Neil, anyway, what's your quick take? Do you think there's significant differences between the Pro and the Premium? If you've only played the Premium, I mean, I guess maybe you wouldn't be able to give a great answer.
So there's also a ball lock behind the drop targets on the left. Let's see if I can.
So Neil agrees with my assessment. There you go. Yeah. There you go, chat. Neil knows what he's talking about.
The drop targets on the left here, and behind there, it's got like the link lock from Avatar.
I like that. So that's on the premium. It's
premium
got like
LE.
It has a link lock behind the targets.
Yep.
That's cool. I've always liked that feature on Avatar.
Yep. That's a neat thing. And then there's a vertical up kicker that returns the ball to a wire form.
Yeah.
That is not on the premium.
It's sort of like that, as you were saying. I saw a video of the gameplay yesterday, and it's sort of like the concept in Led Zeppelin with the third flipper. One's like a shot to nowhere, right, where it just comes back, and the other one is it actually returns to the flipper.
Right.
Okay.
So it's
still really hard to get up to the premium. I mean, the only thing is like the Avatar lock seems cool, but then you don't even give expression lighting. So I don't know.
I know. Yeah, and I guess this clock is not on there on the premium LE. You know, or I mean, it's not on there on the Pro, but it doesn't actually do anything.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a huge Rush fan, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the LEs are just, you know, good luck getting an LE, right? So the premium and then the expression lighting kit will kind of put you there. and maybe you do that. But this is one of those games where I think the compelling case is for the Pro, especially with the pricing the way it is.
That tends to be for Borg's designs. The Pros are always really solid. I feel like there's not huge gameplay features missing out of them in general. It seems like it's mostly cosmetic and style stuff.
Yeah, Neil says the clock signals time in some of the modes, which is a cool toy, but
you just put that onto the display, right? Yeah,
right. Again, it's I'm looking at pictures that you got up. This is a nice looking game, and like it's kind of cool how each model, they're definitely differentiated, and I think they all look good, right? The art looks good on all of them.
Yeah, there's a cohesive style. It's a nice package overall. It's cool to see some new talent coming into the pinball art scene too. Different takes on pinball style. Did you get to see any gameplay of the stream or no?
I have not had much time. So I watched 5 minutes, right? Like I've been scrambling and so busy. So I saw like 5 minutes of play. I don't really have a good impression of this game.
Yeah. So the sound, if you watch that promo video where they did the call outs with Geddy Lee and the other dude, sorry, Rush fans. They got Rush in the studio. They got them working on all the call outs, and Ed Robertson was kind of guiding them through, what the call outs mean and why they should care. And so two things there. Like, it's cool to have somebody like Ed who's really into pinball, who understands it, and also he's a huge fan of that band, right? So he understands what fans of the band will want in a pinball machine. The fact that the band was involved, kind of like with Guns N' Roses, like you see all of these additional assets and things that are available for the pinball machine versus a game like Led Zeppelin or Beatles, where it's like, okay, here's what you get, and that's it. You're gonna get like these X number of songs. We have 17 songs here versus like 10 in Led Zeppelin, and there's only a handful in Beatles. So you see the benefits of going with these bands who are more into it, right? Even though they might not have the Rush doesn't have the draw of a Beatles or a Led Zeppelin, maybe because they sold not as many albums. But and I think the Rush demographic, there's folks in commenting that overseas they don't know who Rush is, so I don't think they had that global reach.
Oh really?
I didn't know that bands have had. Yeah.
Okay.
So, Alex and Getty. Sorry, Alex. I forgot your name. So yeah, I think that's a plus that makes the game more appealing, especially for big fans of the band. Display and lighting. The display work did not wow me, but that's not really a surprise with certain games in general. It's like, okay, you get what you get. It's cool that they have the concert footage, but the original like Stern work was just kind of like, it was like, it's fine. It gets the job done. I would say it got the job done. The thing that struck me about the gameplay was like, I always have a hard time figuring out what's exactly going on from a stream, like rules wise, but it didn't seem like the game was doing a great job of directing you and showing you what to do. I don't know if that's a Tim Sexton, Raymond Davidson thing, or if it's a tournament player thing. I don't know if you find that with Zeppelin, if it took you a while to figure out what was going on, or if somebody had to explain what was going on to you before you really got it.
Yeah, well, you and I went to play Zeppelin, right? On location. I really didn't know what was going on, but I mean, that was like playing it on this like terrible location for a half an hour at best. So when I saw Raymond Davis's tutorial video on Led Zeppelin, totally got it, right? Like, it made sense, it clicked, and like, I don't know, it just works, right? Like, I'm never really confused by the rules on that game. I know nothing about the rules on this game, but I do like what Tim and Raymond did on Led Zeppelin. I think that those two did a really good job. So I look at this game, and I've always liked the shots on X-Men. Like, I think that might be my favorite Borg design, because it's like more of a flowy X-Men's like more of a flowy Borg game, right? Like, he's got a lot of games that are dangerous And they have some flow shots, but there's a lot of shots that are coming back at you quickly. X-Men, you can certainly play a little bit longer, but X-Men just wasn't a good game, in my opinion, from the rule standpoint. It was kind of clunky rule-wise. So seeing that this is like X-Men, if it has kind of those flowy elements, then it might be something that I'm interested in, right? Like, I think it was Neil in chat who said this is like X-Men with better rules. And that alone, somebody tells me that alone has me thinking, huh, okay, let me pay attention to this game. Maybe it's something that finds its way in my collection, even though like I'm sort of neutral on Rush. Like Rush does like absolutely zero for me. And I was talking to you the other night about this, and I'm like, I was asking how you feel about Rush, and I was like, I listen to the music, man, and I don't get it. It's not pushing any buttons or flipping any switches. Like, I'm not like, oh, I hate this. This is terrible. I'm just like, man, it doesn't click whatsoever. I'm like, I can't believe how this popular this band is. But then again, Neil McRae, he's getting a lot of shout outs. He's being very active and helpful. Thank you. He was saying like they're unheard of in Europe. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know. And you told me that I was like, who likes, so what kind of people like Rush? And you're like, nerds.
it's nerd music.
And like, I know, like in the greater perspective,
I'm a nerd.
World,
I can say that.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I checked like some of the nerd boxes, but like, you know, I'm only a nerd to some extent. Like, I haven't crossed like some other like level where like this music is really getting me going. I'll do some nerd. I'll give me some a Weezer pin. That's like nerd rock, right? But like, it's like I would do that. That's the dad rock game, not grandpa rock.
Just Ball Search in chat said it's like Tron. This is not Tron. This is X-Men. It's not Iron Maiden. It's not whatever other comparisons people have made.
It's X-Men.
It's a modified X-Men layout. Yeah.
So, I mean, Tron was like, X-Men came out after Tron. I think it was immediately his next game. Mm-hmm. And X-Men, when people were talking about X-Men, the playfield, they're like, well, he kind of mirrored Tron, but then added some other shots. And I think it's a better version of Tron with that. So that layout, he played with that layout, mirrored it and made it a little bit different. But yeah, so that comment that it's Tron is not a terrible comment, because X-Men is a kind of a mirrored version of Tron with some additional shots. And I think an improved version of Tron, but this maps way more closely to X-Men.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So if you're looking at a board game that this compares to, it's definitely X-Men.
Slappy White's comment is the best.
It's X-Men with the portal shot from Austin Powers up the middle, basically. You know, the time machine from Austin Powers.
Well, also time machine from Austin Powers, and also I guess Lord of the Rings people were comparing that to.
Yeah.
But How dare he use
a great toy.
A toy from 20 years ago?
I know.
How dare he? Oh my God.
I know.
Doesn't he know that the statute of limitations on toys is 25 years plus?
Yeah, that's all you get. You can use it once. Yeah, it's got to be at least 30 years old. I mean, then when it comes back, it's like, oh, cool. A very targeted. It's in a new game. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, no, one of those listen. If Borg busted this out 3 years later after using that thing, then okay, you can start criticizing. 20 plus years, he's good. I think over 10 years, you're good. 10 years, you can recycle some stuff. you gotta make these guys' lives a little easier too, you know?
Yeah. It's like, okay.
As long as it's a fun toy, right? As long as it's a fun toy, let's...
And it applies to the theme. It definitely does here.
Yeah.
As far as much as I know about time machines and Rush, it seems to apply. Time machines seem to be a thing for them, and it's a good time machine. All right, okay, can we agree on that? Rules and lastability, we don't really know. The gameplay looks good. I mean, from a shot perspective, it looked like a fun, fast shooting game. The one thing that I noticed was it seems that scoop. Let me jump back over to the pictures here. So the scoop, there's two scoops here, and one you can shoot from the side flipper and the other one you can shoot from the bottom flippers. The one you shoot from the side flippers, the ball tended to like just kind of fall in there a lot, or at least more than I was expecting. So I don't know. That was unusual. There's a shot under the flipper back to the shooter lane. Did X-Men have that or no?
What was the shot that you're talking about?
The under flipper shot. where you shoot it back to the shooter lane.
No,
I don't think it had that. So that's another new shot that's on here. So that was cool. And obviously X-Men didn't have the lock behind the drop targets or anything like that. So there's some different stuff. The diverter at the top, I don't know if you saw that work at all, but behind the time machine, there's a ramp diverter. Folks were saying that was similar to Radical. So there's your other, this is just like X game comparison, but when you shoot that ramp in the bag, it can divert to the right. And when it did that, it was really slowed the ball down, and it seemed to slow it down so much that you could just like hold the flipper up and trap the ball. Cause it was moving pretty slow. So, that was interesting. So that might make for long tournament play if people can exploit that and do a quick post stop or just even hold the flipper up and trap the ball.
So is Rush going to be the new best game ever because it's the newest game?
Oh yeah,
Godzilla is no longer the new best game ever. This is the best game ever.
Yeah, there can't be more than one good game. There only has to be one perfect.
But it's
game
always the newest game.
Yeah,
either the newest game is the best game ever or the worst game ever.
Correct. So
okay,
some are saying it's the best game ever. I'm sure there are other people that say it's terrible and why would you make a Rush game? But you know, comments are like, you know, throw Guns N' Roses in the trash. This is the Guns N' Roses for Rush. Blah blah blah. You know, Zeppelin wishes it was this game, and all. Yeah, you know how it. You know how it goes. We've been down this road before.
Yeah. So I don't know, but I guess if you order Rush now, you'll get Rush. Is that the deal? And then if you wait 3 months, then you'll get it in 2025.
Pretty much. That's why you know, the LE sellout, because people want the game immediately so they can have the. Got to have it now. Oh my God, shiny new thing. Don't make me wait for the premium in 12 months or whatever, whenever that'll come out. Is this a game that you would consider for your location on route?
I just, the economics of routing pinball during this time, it's just, there's, I want to answer your question, like, but the caveat is, it's just like, things aren't good economically on route.
Yeah.
All right. But like, to your question, I don't know. I mean, I don't think the theme alone is not good for location pinball for the average person. It's not.
Unless you live in Toronto.
Unless you live, right. Correct. If I was operating in Canada, then sure. Sure. I don't even know if like, if you put it in a place in Canada where like 20-year-olds go, if that would work, right? Like, I'd rather just, I mean, maybe Godzilla's I'm sure a better theme, and I don't know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles probably, even though it's kitty. I don't know. It's just not a good, I don't think it's a good route theme.
Yeah. It would be good for Misuta Childs, maybe. Because they have maybe, a rock vibe.
Right, maybe, and only because it has a rock vibe, right?
Mm.
But even then, I mean, people going up to it. Well, whatever. At that place, they play every game equally, pretty much.
Yeah, but when Godzilla dropped, they were like, all right, we need one of these. I assume you didn't get contacted by them to say, oh, we need a Rush immediately.
No, don't say anything, because we're not in a position.
all right, fair.
But yeah. Well, I mean, they're a Japanese-themed bar.
They
right?
have a huge Mecha Godzilla on their wall.
Correct.
Even before the pinball machine came out.
So correct. So that's a no-brainer. Yep.
Yeah. So there you go. That's our impression of Rush. Anything else on Rush before we move on?
No, I will just add to like Nuovad. It says the Pro isn't $5,200 anymore. Forget routing this machine. Yeah, that's the thing, man. Like, that is, I'm going to bang this drum every time you ask me or anybody asks me about routing in pinball. It's like, the price has gone up on these machines twice in a year at least, and it's probably going to go up next year. And yet, what are we supposed to charge for pinball pricing? So now you're going to ask us, you know, you increase the price by $1,000. You're going to ask us to, you know, just delay our profits even more. And it's just like, it's crazy. And then, you know, with COVID, less people are going out. It's just not at least around here, it's not a good time for operating pinball at all. Like, you just get squeezed as an operator. Oh, I was supposed to talk on the podcast about operating, but kind of forgot about that. So we'll have maybe another podcast where it's like, here's a concerted time. I'll give my thoughts on operating. But I've always done that, right? Like, almost every episode, every other episode, especially when I release with pinball, you ask a good question about operating, and people want some insight to this. So it, yeah, it's tough, man. I don't know how other operators are doing, but I think you're absolutely, if you're an operator, you think about operating, you're making a terrible mistake if you're not charging at least a dollar, and you need to get rid of like the 2 for 3 plays. Like that, that's stupid. Like you're being stupid if you're doing that. And now maybe there's some good counterexample out there. I talk in kind of broad terms. But who doesn't, when the cost of purchasing things, all right, that you're making money on, who doesn't pass along some of that cost to the customer? Otherwise, you're just not going to do this anymore. So yeah, it's a really weird time in pinball. I mean, it's a weird time in the economy and life anyways, but it, like, I can see it front seat, like really weird time in pinball, really weird time.
Yeah, it's I know people want it to be 1980 and pinball machines cost 25 cents to play, so you know it's just not possible. Dude, when you're paying prices for a pro, which that the LE used to be only a couple years ago.
Yeah, well, we'll get the inflation calculator out and stuff, and we'll look at, you know, and what Black Hole was the first game I think that charged 50 cents, something like that, and that was like in 1980. I'm probably off by like a year or a game, but like, you know, let's just say 1980, that's close enough. Pinball went to 50 cents. And now it's only a dollar? That doesn't make sense. With 40 years later, and it's only double the price to play, makes zero sense. And these games have to have become more expensive. They have way more features. Way more features. People aren't rushing out to buy a Black Hole right now. They're rushing out to buy the newest game with the lighting and all that shit. So, yeah, people just need a reality check. And my philosophy is that if somebody complains about pinball being a dollar, then they're not really interested in playing much pinball anyways. And if they have complained, just send them over to me and I'll talk to them. I'll just have to put out a video about the economics of pinball and location pinball and just like refer them to that. Be like, just go see this. All right. You know, like you're going to go to the bar and buy an $8 fucking beer and then complain that the pinball is a dollar on a machine that's $5,900 or $6,900. Are you out of your mind? Like, that's not, then pinball's not for you, man. That's all it is. Go play something else.
Go play skee ball or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for Rush. Looking forward to playing it as always. New pinball machine, always fun to play. Always interesting to see the initial responses and reactions, but to be continued. All right. Oh. Other news happening in pinball. What's up?
A texture beer is $8 fucking beer is his favorite flavor. That would be a good name. No one's taking that name for a beer. Like, you know, so there you go. $8 fucking beer.
Do a partnership with CBW.
The can is just the $8 sign on it, and everywhere you go, it's $8 for fucking beer. Great. It's great humor.
All right. Some news coming out of Multimorphic. They added two high level tournament players to their arsenal of employees, Bowen Cairns, Colin McAlpine, both former Pop, like Bowen won Papa, Colin won Pinburg. So, and Colin has, so Bowen is formerly of Spooky Pinball. He's no longer working with them. He's now consulting with Multimorphic. Colin had been working with Multimorphic a little bit, you know, casually, informally on previous titles with Multimorphic, but now this makes it official, so it's cool to see Multimorphic expanding their team. This is a quote from Pinball News. They say, "We asked how, given the physical distance between their homes, they would be able to collaborate effectively. Told us that our development team was already spread out across the world. We use collaboration tools to share files and edit documents. We communicate heavily via messages and conference tools. Communicating isn't an issue. The bigger challenge is getting everybody onto the machines with early play fields so they can see how the rules are progressing and come up with changes. But we ship things out as necessary, and we also leverage live streaming and video sharing. With a pipeline of upcoming titles, we asked if Bowen and Colin would concentrate their efforts of separate games or whether they would work together on future titles. Jerry said the company would be flexible, but in general, they would work together. He said, it depends on the depth we want in each game and also how many games we're developing in parallel. Our design process generally involves everybody on the team. We all have a voice in the entire creative process, but when our decisions need to be made about rules, we'll generally defer to them. Right now, they're both providing input on all of the games we're developing. So there you go. That's some news out of Multimorphic. The other thing they're working on is they just launched a update for Sorcerer's Apprentice, which they added 60 more callouts from the Sorcerer. So he's talking more trash at you as you're playing. A lot of those were community contributions. So in the Discord and on the Pinside thread, they were asking for callout suggestions, and a lot of those made it in. So good to see that. In other code update news, Spooky just dropped a couple big code updates for Halloween and Ultraman. 1.05 adds a new expert level modes for both games. So there's a YouTube video of Bug from Spooky going through all the rules and showing how to get to those. I thought it was they call them expert level modes, but you only had to like complete two modes to get to them. I was like, it doesn't seem like much of a challenge to get there. And then once you get there, there are these very long modes that with no timer, so you're kind of stuck in them, it seemed like. But I don't know, I still haven't played either game. I guess to be determined on that.
Do we know anybody that has that game? I don't want to play another Spooky game personally.
It's yeah, like, I have like very little interest in trying it.
Yeah. let's just put it like, I do want to play it, but right. It's like, I say that and it's like at the bottom of the list, right? There's way other, many more things I want to get to before that.
Yeah. I look forward to playing it. I don't anticipate really enjoying the game based on what I've seen of it. So that lowers my excitement to play it, either one of those.
It just has to be not terrible when you step up to it and play it. Like, this is not horrible.
Yeah, hopefully the ball stays on the play field. That'd be nice. You know?
That would be nice.
Don't fall into the cabinet. But I think James is getting a Halloween sometime. So we'll play it over there, maybe. Our good friend James. And from JJP, it's been a quiet December from JJP, but they put out a holiday podcast. They have a Jersey Jack Pinball official podcast. And you get to hear from a bunch of folks who work there. And, you know, they all talk about exciting new things coming in the new year. So I think a couple folks hinted at two games. I know they've been hinting at two games a year for like 3 or 4 years now, and it hasn't happened yet. But maybe 2022 is the year. They're gonna make it happen. So looking forward to seeing what's coming from JJP, as always. All right. And before we wrap up our manufacturer roundup, we have one more critical, the one you've all been waiting. Okay, it's Ballarama. Let's take a look at what Ballarama has been up to. Okay, if you haven't been keeping up, this is a company out of Australia that's trying to take your money for a pinball machine that doesn't exist. So let's see. This was a good one. They posted video on Facebook giving an insight, INCITE, into Barbara, their artistic director.
Barbara's gonna arts and crafts the shit out of that game.
I mean, look at that look room. At she's ready to make pinball machines. Oh, she's going to put some felt and yarn and stuff on that play field.
Looks like she robbed a Michaels.
So she's going to incite a riot or something, I think. So that's Barbara. That's their holiday greeting. This was, what's his name? The dude talking about
Ian.
That's right. Sorry, Ian. And you pointed out his shirt selection here. He's wearing go for it.
He's got a Leonardo da Vinci shirt on, which I'm sure he fancies himself as Leonardo da Vinci. He's not done anything in pinball, but why not?
He's gonna be the Da Vinci of pinball. Yeah.
This is Kev. We got a lot of content coming from these guys, and I just want to give them a shout out and thank them. Keep it up.
All right.
Keep it up. Which they are. They are. They're not stopping. So they're not gonna stop. What that whole video was about. Can't stop, won't stop until they don't have any money, and then they have to stop.
Okay. This one, oh my lord. Okay, this is the good one. So this is Ian saying he's out of lockdown and getting out to play pinball again. So he wants to play Attack from Mars on location. Cool, that's fun. Got a great score according to him. So this was the Bally's Attack from Mars, the original from 1975.
Love that. I love that version. They were way ahead of their time, let me tell you. it was from 75, 76, you know, thereabouts. Thereabouts. Yeah.
They went from electromechanical machines.
If it's 75 or 76, you know, Koreans are still arguing over. Well, did it? You know, it came out technically in 75 because some people were playing in 1975, but really the public got to play it in 76. So, I mean, Ian's just covering the bases there.
Yeah. So, I was looking at the comments on there. Nudge Magazine in the comments on Instagram says, didn't Attack from Mars come out in the 90s? I was like, oh, maybe this is where he realizes his mistake, right?
He doubled down.
And he goes, there was a remake, but this was the original.
Holy shit.
Quite a simple game, really, but some novels shaking market targets activated its eyes.
Wow. Wow. That's just save that and just we're gonna put that up on the end of every podcast just as a blank screen.
So somebody crazy cat guy says it did. Pinballs didn't look anything like this in the 70s. The remake came out in 2017 and the original is 1995. And Nudge Magazine, he finally figured it out. Dead right, sorry. I was only 20 years out. Yes, the machine doesn't even look like the 70s. Swear I saw a 1976 badge near the Bally tag.
Wow, dude. This guy, this is amazing. This is this real, Kevin?
This is real. This is real life.
I mean, somebody who knows nothing about pinball, if I took him to the basement, I've got a couple games from the late 70s, like 1980, right? And I'd be like, go up to a game like Attack from Mars, let's say. I'd show him like some games, like, what decade do you think this came out? I bet they could do a better job than Ian. I bet they wouldn't say the 70s.
This is somebody making these claims like they're going to revolutionize pinball and bring never before seen things to pinball. You're going to love it.
He's going to bring things that he's never seen. That's where we've gotten this wrong. We owe him an apology. Ian's never seen these things. He's going to bring things into his machine that he's never seen, which is very limited. So I 100% believe he's going to achieve that goal.
Definitely throw money at their Kickstarter. That's all. Yeah, with you can be confident doing that. Let's see if there's anything else. Okay, that's the end of that one.
That's great. Yeah, I didn't know. I saw the post where he fucked up the dates, but then I didn't see the comments where he's doubling down on it, which is just like it wasn't just a typo. Like that's the amazing thing. We all make mistakes, but also as a company that's asking for like millions of dollars, like you kind of don't want to make these mistakes, ideally. Especially when you've been criticized left and right, like by the pinball community. That's when you tighten things up. He's doubling down.
Maybe when somebody says, didn't this come out in the 90s? Instead of just being like, nah, maybe do a quick Google search.
I got this. I'm Ian. I'm Da Vinci.
Yeah. It's like the random pinball in chat. It's like one of the most popular games ever made, like one of the top games of all time. It's not like some random, like, you know, pistol poker or something that they made a couple hundred of.
It's not like there's this thing that we have, this piece of technology where you can just type things on a keyboard and get an answer like in 2 seconds.
That's crazy. You know,
that would require some research. And by research, I mean, that's like the really lowering the bar to call research, putting something in Google, but
it's research. All right. So we're not done yet. This was good. So why so serious? The quotations. Every aspect of life has appropriate quotations made around it. Pinball is no exception. Do you have a favorite pinball quote or you could share as a comment or a life quote that's taken your fancy? And anyways, Happy New Year. We got here. We did it. We made it to 2021. Okay. Well, so let's see some pinball quotes. Okay. Well, there's a line from an amazing movie from an amazing actor totally in the groove of his role. It's not a quote. It's a dream monster. There's a quote. Okay. Famous quote, aim for the blinky thing. That's also an amazing quote. It's probably an easy fix, says the company that hasn't built anything yet and probably will never make anything. This is my favorite one. Okay, so the quote is, every age has its storytelling form. Pinball is part of our culture. Okay, that's kind of a cool quote, right? It's like, oh, well, the original quote from Andy Serkis was, and video gaming is a huge part, but we just changed it to pinball.
I hate to say it, but bring back Natalie. She was a little less worse.
Talk about Natalie.
Oh, we didn't talk about that she's gone?
No, that happened.
Shit.
Natalie.
Natalie Rip.
Yep.
They gave her the boot. She's not on the website anymore.
Yeah, see, she's not here.
I like to think that we helped with that.
You got Andy. You got Grant.
Nobody else has been debuted?
You got Heidi and Barbara and Ian.
Andy without the last name.
Yeah. He's
Bono.
There you go.
He's Bono. Bono, this is Bono. Andy, the musician.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, and Andy Perry. There it is. The
Andy
editor.
Perry. Yeah.
He's the Muso.
And that's right. And then, oh, they're getting a bunch of followers. That's very exciting.
Oh, get rid of that, Kevin. This is
buying
this
tons
is
of followers. Out. There you go.
How many? What does it say?
5605.
Oh, the numbers are jumping up fast. Followers. Yeah. So how many followers do they have?
Like 5,600.
Yeah. They have more than Buffalo Pinball does.
Somehow they've just skyrocketed.
They've eclipsed nearly 8 years of, well, even going back to 2013, you know, almost 10 years of work. They've eclipsed it just like that. It's Ballarama, man.
It's amazing. Everybody is so excited about what they're doing.
God, they should easily, with you think, Kevin, the numbers behind it, they should be able to easily sell 300 games with that many followers, you know?
At least.
Not easily, yeah. But like, you know, they're up to a good start, because at this pace, they're going to be up to like 20,000 followers in a couple months. Or next weekend, depending on what their budget is.
How many likes on the followers post? They got zero comments on that. So they're talking about their Facebook following, their LinkedIn following, their Instagram following, not so good. They only have 343 followers, and they're following almost 700 people. So that's not a good ratio. You know, usually a lot of people will get followed and they'll follow you back, but people see Ballarama and they don't want any part of it. Here, mm-hmm. let me jump over to.
I kind of want a little part of it, you know. Oh God, they didn't disappoint. I didn't know if like we would have something to talk about, but they keep on delivering. I mean, if they weren't making mistakes or saying stupid things, we'd have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, they're up over 6,000 now. That's amazing, amazing
growth. Look at that growth!
Almost like unbelievable growth, really.
Well, Kevin, it really puts into question your role in managing our social media, your unpaid role in managing our social media. We have not seen this kind of growth from you over the years. So what's going on?
Look at that engagement, though. They have 6,000 people who like the page, 9 likes on this post about how many people.
Two of them are Ian Barb.
Ian and Barb. They got 6 here.
Who's encouraging 9 them?
They have 9 bots that are liking these posts. And now they don't even have Natalie here to like it anymore. They got rid of Natalie. 9. There's like 9 on everyone.
Even the bots don't want a part of that.
6. Oh, 10. They got 10. Barbara got 10. And a heart. Look at that. That's engagement right there.
I bet Attack gave her the heart.
Who gave the heart? Let's see. Oh, I can't see because I'm not logged in right now.
This is the deep into the show where we just shit on Ballarama.
It's everybody's. Oh, that's me trying to troubleshoot the audio settings earlier. So there you go. There you go. I had multiple people comment about how the Ballarama segment was their favorite last month. So that's for everybody who wrote.
Oh yeah, comments. People did enjoy that. But you know, the credit really goes to Ballarama. You know, they're just throwing watermelons, you know, over home plate, and you know, Kevin and I are just doing the obvious right now.
we're Gallagher in that. All right, game room updates. I have a big game room update, and it's behind me over here, right there. Got a new game, but it's not a pinball machine. It's an old video game called Discs of Tron, the third of the Tron trilogy. So I had the original Tron arcade cabinet that I got 10 plus years ago, and the Tron Legacy pinball machine, and now we got Discs of Tron. So they made a couple versions of Discs of Tron for the arcade. This is an environmental version, you know, the kind that you stand in, but somebody chopped the back of it off, which was not uncommon for the, here I can, if I go big screen here, I can show it to you a little bit better. Back in the day, operators chopped the back of it off because the thing was just so massive and heavy and it took up so much space. So I'd love to have the environmental version, but it's huge, takes up a lot of space. So this is kind of like the best of both worlds, because the environmental version is the one that has the sound with the speech and everything, and it's got extra lights and stuff that light up. The regular stand-up version doesn't have that, so that's pretty cool. And I brought some more stuff to show and tell. So it's a bit of a project. You can see there's no T-molding on it right now. I've got new T-molding for it, and I started ordering new parts. So there's a site called This Old Game, who makes new parts for old video games. So this is a panel that goes above the joystick that lights up with the fluorescent bulb and glows. It looks all cool. So there's that. What else we got in here? We got a new, this will be good because there's bubble wrap by the microphone. Hey, you guys like that? Does that sound good? Yeah. So it's the lenticular 3D marquee. Look at that, looking good. It's like, so have you seen the 3D pinball translate? That's the, that has a similar effect where you can kind of have some depth to it there. I ordered a bunch more stuff from them, like new side art and the bezel and stuff like that. The control panel overlay needs to be redone, so I need to do that. But all that stuff was out of stock, so you got to wait for him to get around to running it. So was the marquee expensive? It'd make good wall art. So it was $100 for the marquee, which that's the other thing. I was like, this is kind of a project. I'm going to have to buy some stuff. But then I totaled up all the stuff that I had to buy, and it was like $600. It's like, man, pinball really makes everything else like really cheap. Even with like all new side art and everything for the cabinet, it's only like $600. It's crazy. Freaking pinball. So there you go. I've got that. What else do we got? I've been playing some video games over break. I played through all of Halo Infinite, which was amazing. Highly recommended. It didn't really hook me at first, but when it got to the open world part of it, just sat there and played it for hours on end. And it's been a while since I played a game like that, so that was really fun. I got Guardians of the Galaxy for the PlayStation 5, so I've been playing that. Fun game. It's not overly complicated or anything like that, but if you like the Guardians, you'll dig that. This is one of those new copies from GameStop where they take it out of the packaging and sell it to you as new, even though they've already opened it up. So thank you to GameStop on that. I got Cruise and Blast for the Switch. You remember the old Cruise and USA games or Cruise and World? This is the updated version of that. It's like the arcade version Cruise and Blast, but there's more to it. There's tons of unlockables and things like that. So been really enjoying that. And I got Super Mario World, 3D World, but I got this for Bowser's Fury because I had already played Super Mario World, 3D World on the Wii U, but Bowser's Fury is new, so I grabbed that. So I've been doing a lot of video gaming. Also been doing some reading. There's so much show and tell for you guys this month. This book was awesome. It's called Missile Commander, A Journey to the Top of an Arcade Classic. This is by Tony Temple of ArcadeBlogger.com. He's also from an excellent podcast. If you're into retro video games or you know, like late 70s, early 80s pinball, check it out. It's called the Ted Dabney Experience. They get great interviews with folks from like Atari and some of the classic game companies from back then. But he does this book is really good. I wasn't really that into Missile Command, but I was like, oh, I'll give it a shot because I really like his blog and his podcast. And it's kind of a two-part book where it tells the history of Missile Command and the development of the game, but also his personal journey with it. He ended up becoming like the all-time high score. He got the all-time high score on Missile Command. And there's, if you've ever heard of like Mr. Awesome from the retro video game scene, he's in here. I should have flagged the part where he talks about Mr. Awesome, but Mr. Awesome, like, he was claiming to be the number one person in Missile Command and was trying to ride that to fame and like it had like pornos made. It's crazy. So like stuff you would never expect out of a video game book. So I finished that one already, would highly recommend. And the other one I'm reading is Once Upon Atari with from Howard Scott Warshaw. He's the guy who made Yar's Revenge, but also made the infamous ET for the Atari 2600. So he's a real creative mind, and it's a very entertaining book. So I'm really enjoying that so far too. So there you go. That's all my show and tell for this month from the game room. So some, hopefully some good recommendations there. Definitely check out of all that. I think I enjoyed Missile Commander the best. So check out Missile Commander, would highly recommend. Okay. Nick, what's up with you and your game room?
So I think it's like future stuff, right? So I decided to pull the trigger on Cactus Canyon. I know we talked about it a couple months ago, and my thinking has kind of changed on it where I'm like, I kind of really want that game. Remember when I first got into pinball, that game always looked really cool to me. Like, and I like the idea of my next pinball purchase being, you know, that world under glass feelings that, you know, Williams delivers on better than anybody else. I like I'm into like Western kind of themes in general, like low key stuff, but the theme checks the box for me. And then, man, it's like this $8,000 game from, you know, compared to all these other games that are coming out with rising pricing. Chicago, was it CoinOp?
Chicago Gaming.
Yeah. Chicago Gaming. I mean, they've been putting out, you know, their quality is up there. So, and then the final thing that made me decide to get that is I heard that Josh Sharp and Lyman are going to be doing their version of the rules. Because, you know, Cactus Canyon is a game that was unfinished. So Chicago Gaming, my understanding is that they have a version where they kind of completed it. And then Lyman and Josh Sharp are going to have their version of it, which is a separate purchase. Now, that's like the best of everything, right? Like, that's like a Williams game with like the Williams charm and also like some modern sensibility in terms of what we expect rules to be. And I like posted on that Pinside thread about what people, I forget what my question was, but what people thought about, you know, Josh and Lyman working on the rules. And Josh is like, he messaged me there that day. He's like, you doubt me and Lyman? And I was like, listen, man, I was like, I just don't want to drop $8,000 like that. If like somebody who, you know, looks at rules and is a rules nerd to an extent, and at this point in, you know, pinball playing, I don't want a game that's going to be super easy. I'll be bored with. And he's just like, look, all I can say is that this is going to be a game that Lyman and I are going to be proud to have in our basements. And I was like, that's all I need to know. All right, let's do it. Let's get that game. So that's where I'm at right now. So I don't know when that's happening or when I'll get it. I'm not in a hurry per se, because the other thing is I just started a new job this past week, and my life is going to be upside down for a while. I'm going to be working out of town for like a month. So you'll like my whole streaming on Fridays, which is always in flux. I don't know when that's going to come back, if and when. Bro, we're actually going to be out in so I'm working out in Rochester. Bro is going to, thankfully we could do Bro. So we're going to go out to James next Thursday, and then maybe some other Rochester collectors for the next few weeks. So I'm just trying to figure things out. It's all good. I'm treating myself to a pinball machine in celebration of the new gig. But yeah, life's a little crazy. So I'm exhausted right now. Except when we talk about Ballarama, I seem to find a lot of energy.
That's your passion.
I can't help it. So I'm just trying to manage everything that's going on.
So if Attack from Mars came out in 75, 76, that would make Cactus Canyon like 79, right? That's about when that game came out.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, it came out 3 years later, but that's a normal time. So I don't know what Ian's time, if you like subtract or divide or I have no idea.
But. Yeah. So I was actually on an interested list for Cactus Canyon 2. And when the pricing got announced, and they weren't very clear about like when the Lyman code would come out and how much it would cost and when it did. So those are it was also like it was like $8,000 for like a 90s game. I was hoping for more like the Attack from Mars pricing. But obviously everything's gone up. So when the pricing came out, I was like, eh. And it could be years before you see the code, and who knows how much it's going to be when it comes out. So that's why
you could sell the game in like, if you wait, you buy for $8,000, sell the game by the end of next year for like $11,000. You know, right. Like you're not going to get hurt on this.
Right. Yeah. So that's why I pulled out.
You're welcome, Chicago. I just helped you sell a bunch more games. You're welcome.
And I was like, that was great. I will look forward to coming to your house and playing in your house. So that's
right.
Be
that's the best of both worlds. It is a thing. Like, I don't like buying the same games you have. Like, yeah. I don't mind. I mean, if the game's great, I obviously want it, but it's just like, I do take in consideration what you get. And it's like, okay, was there another game where I kind of like almost as much or whatever? And like, I'll get steered in that direction. You know, we could try to diversify a little bit.
That's right.
It doesn't do you and I any good to have like all the same games.
Right.
No winning like, in that. You can play my games anytime like, you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're like, Nick, you call me up. I want to come over and like go nuts. All right. Like.
Yeah. And then it makes it exciting when I go over. I'm like, oh, man, I can play Black Knight and, you know, all these games that I don't, Deadpool, you know. all these games I don't have a chance to play all the time. And not so much about that. Nuovan buys all the games that I've bought. He had a Grand Lizard. He had a Space Shuttle. What else? He had a bunch of other ones. So if it's not the games that I've had, he's buying the games that you had because he's got a Deadpool. And
who's that?
That's Small Town.
Small Town. I gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we invited him on the stream team, because he has a good taste in pinball.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
All right. I think that's going to do it for this month. What do you say? Solid podcast.
I think it's solid. I can't wait to get this up on YouTube and read the comments. You know,
it's going to be good. Especially the Ballarama part. That's all you're here for. Come on.
Yeah. Everyone subscribe to the Ballarama thread on Pinside. But I do have time. I'm active in that thread.
We had some comments in Discord saying that was the most active anybody's seen you on Facebook or on Pinside in a while.
I'm done. I'm just like, this is just like, I have zero tolerance for this kind of bullshit. I really do.
Yeah.
And that Ballarama was total bullshit. And it's also hilarious, but you know,
it's good. It's a warning signal to everybody out there. Do not back their Kickstarter.
It's never going to stop, dude. We'll be doing this podcast 5 years from now, and there's going to be another Ballarama. There's going to be another Deep Root. Like, when is it ever going to stop?
Never, never. There's always going to be the next Ballarama, Deep Root. Who else? Skippy, Zidware, you know, and on and on and on.
There's enough delusional people. What's interesting about Ballarama is they're delusional people without money. I'm always a little more interested in delusional people who have money. Because obviously they had to at least do something's right. Well, actually, Robert just stole and committed crime. So that, I guess that theory goes out the window, right?
All right. He's a master manipulator, if nothing else.
Yeah, well, yeah. I guess you can steal money, you know, but and you get caught. So anyways.
Yep. Just like Elizabeth Holmes.
Oh, yeah, she's going to jail.
Ooh, Robert. It's going to happen to Robert.
Robert's going to go to jail too.
You're going to be hanging out with Elizabeth.
Yeah,
you can talk about single drops of blood in pinball machines.
Yeah, you know what? There's here's a tip to somebody who wants to do pinball content. Like, look, there's a million stupid, like, not stupid, but like, it's stupid how many like podcasts there are in this like niche hobby, right? And it's just too like compared to the amount of people in the hobby per podcast, it's kind of insane. But what would be interesting is documenting Deep Root, right? Have a nice like consolidated 10 episode thing where like they did with like Elizabeth Holmes, like professionally done, well thought out. Document that. That's a good story for pinball. It's a
Blueberry
good cautionary
Johnson
tale.
Needs to do that. Yeah.
Oh, he's great, man. God bless that guy.
He's in it.
He's good. Yeah.
Before we wrap up, there's a good comment in chat and I want to just ask you about it. What was up with you walking that dog?
Oh, that's my sister's. That's my sister's dog, Oliver. And I was like, take a picture. I'll send it to Martha or get it posted somehow. And dude, her dog is just exactly why I don't have dogs. Like I go over her house and that thing's like jumping. It's like a pup. It's like it jumps in the air at her. And then I was like, let me take him for a walk. Cause I wanted to go for a walk. I was coming back to Buffalo that day. And that dog just like starts running up ahead constantly in this leash. And he's like strangling himself. It's just so dumb. And then he stops and he eats like shit, like from some other dog. It's just like, this is great. I could see. Yeah. How fun is this?
Sign me up for a dog.
Yeah. I'll come over and walk him. Is he a good boy? I think my, he's a cute dog, man. He's a cute dog. He's like that kind of thing where it's like, I'll go over and visit my sister and go for a walk. And he's like, you want to put him on the leash? I'll walk him around. And that's it. That's it. That's cool. He's a good boy, though.
There you go.
He's in bite or bark.
So stay tuned next Thursday. Brody Even Pinball is coming back. We're going to be playing Godzilla LE with our friend James and Ben. We're really looking forward to that. And we're gonna schedule some other Rochester. We're going to be Rochester Pinball for the month. Rebranding for the month. And Bro is off of hiatus. That's right. Hiatus is over.
Yeah. Do you have a nice little break?
I did. Yeah. Pinball. Good holiday. Chilling. Lots of video games. Lots of reading. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready to get on stream and play some pinball. It'd be fun to go. I love going to James and playing his games.
Like, yeah, they got awesome collections out there. So
yeah, they're good guys.
Until next month, have a good time. And we will see you on the rest of the stream.
All right. Take care.
Take it easy. Bye, guys.